In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6, the Apostle Paul is writing, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, asking that you would bless and help us as we worship you. Help us in your word. Father, give your word power. Move with the Spirit in our midst. Lord, you know the need of everyone in the house. Help us, Father, that we would worship you and that our hearts and minds and our every part of our being would be directed towards you at this time. Lord, your people, your children that are here, Father, encourage us in thee and edify us, build us up, strengthen us. And Lord, for those that are here not saved, Lord, that they might have ears to hear. We pray that you would work in it. Help us, Father, that we would all hear your word and believe you and trust you in those things that you have for us and those things that you say. And Lord, help us to apply it to life, that we might walk with you in the time that you give us. And Lord, that we might, as your children, Father, be looking for the return of our Savior. And when he comes, Lord, we'd be happy to see him and ready to go with him and not ashamed at his appearing. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. Here the Apostle Paul he's been dealing with this church, and he's talking to them about speaking to them spiritually. They're carnal, he tells them. They're caught up in the world, and we know that this church is. Yet she is a church, and she's got problems. The indication that we have in the Lord writing these two epistles to the church at Corinth is that the Lord didn't give up on her, nor did the apostle, amen? But continued to admonish them and exhort them to write good things. And he talks about he and Apollos, other brethren, ministering and were used of the Lord to be a witness to them, to carry the gospel to them. But it was the Lord that was behind it all. It was the Lord, indeed, that gave the increase, wasn't it? And he says here in verse number 9, and we want to pick up our thought this morning from this verse, for we are laborers together with God. And, you know, we need to understand, you know, this word laborers together. There's a reference here. I want you to go ahead and turn this. Let's do this in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 here, John Mark writing his gospel. The Lord inspiring him to do so, and he sums up this book, Mark chapter 16, verse number 20, the last verse in the book, and they went forth and preached everywhere, speaking of the Lord's church there at Jerusalem, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We have here in our text verse in 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 9, it says here, for we are laborers together with God. It's the same word or near the same word that are used together there. The Lord working with them in Mark chapter 16, verse 20. In the Greek, it's synergio, synergy. We get our English word synergy from that. And when there's synergy, there's cooperation, there's help, there's working together. And from that word in Matthew chapter that word in Matthew chapter 16, verse 20 comes from this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, we are laborers together with God. The Lord is using his people. He is using us. We labor together with God. That's what the scripture says. We are, as the Lord's people, as the Lord's children, we've been given a message to tell to others, the same message that was brought to us and that we received. But the Lord's behind it all. We're responsible to work and to labor. We are laborers together with God. This is not some automatic, robotic affair. This dynamic of God working amongst his people. and working amongst sinners and bringing sinners to Christ. But the Lord is working and we are to be working. It's that way. And it says here, in the end, ye are God's husbandry. You know, whose idea was it for the creation? It was the Lord's. whose idea was it for sinners to be saved? The Lord's. Who made a provision for such? Who brought the word? Who put the word of God? Who put the Bible together? Who sent preachers? Who saved sinners? Who moved with the Spirit? The Lord. But brothers and sisters, remember, lost sinner that's here this morning under the hearing of this preaching, you have been made in the image and likeness of God. And you are responsible before God, saved or not saved. You stand before him as his creation, created to bring honor and glory into his name, and you're responsible for him, before him. You are responsible, you and I are responsible to obey and to hear and to apply and to follow and to pursue. It's not a robotic thing. It's not an automatic thing, but we are God's husbandry, we who are saved. The Lord's been tilling, hadn't he? And the Lord has saved sinners. He saved us. He's called us and saved us, and that's true. But then he calls us to sow into water, amen? And as he has told here. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 13 and think in that thought about being the Lord's husbandry, the Lord's affected ground, if you will. The Lord's ground, tillage, and husbandry is the title of the message this morning. We want to consider this here in Matthew chapter 13 and the other synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those gospels run together. They harmonize. They tell about the same accounts of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They run in parallel. We want to see here from this what the Lord says here about his tillage, his ground, his husbandry. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Such a great multitude, he's in a little boat there, a ship, one that's no doubt used for fishing or carrying goods back and forth. And the Lord sits there in that, backs away from the shore a little bit, and he teaches the people. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Verse 8, and other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the Lord gives this parable. And this parable is accounted also, as I mentioned, in the Gospels of Mark and of Luke. And he tells about this sower, and he tells about these four types of ground. And we see that there's, in these four types of ground, we see some things, some comparison here. The Lord's not explained it. He's just told the parable to this point. What are the types of ground? Well, there's the wayside, right? And at the wayside, we see, and the Gospels agree, that the fowls of the air came and devoured that seed before it did anything. Luke actually says that the seed was trodden down. What's the world do with the Word of God? Does it not trod it down? Brother Mark in his Sunday school class mentioned about how that is. You want to follow and seek to follow the Lord and in your home and the way the Lord says in his word, you're going to be considered a weirdo in this day, a fanatic, a person that's out of the way, a fundamentalist. the world trods down the word of God, and the fowls of the air indeed come. Then we see the stony ground, right? Not much earth at the stony ground. It says here in the passage we've read that there's no deepness of earth, right? No deepness of earth there. The dirt is not very deep. It says also in Mark that it's that way. The sun comes up, and in Mark it says that it's scorched. In Matthew it says that it's scorched. Why? Because it had no root, no deep running root. There's not any dirt there, and it withered away. In Luke, this same account of this parable says that it lacked moisture. Because see, the root can't get to the water if it doesn't run down deep, does it? And so we see the stony ground, stony places. And then we see the thorny ground. That seed which fell among thorns. The testimony from the Gospels is that the thorns choked what sprang up. And even in Mark, it says that there was the yielding of no fruit. It couldn't get to maturity. Couldn't give any fruit. But then we see the good ground. Other fellow on the good ground, it says here where we've read in verse number 8, and it brought forth fruit. But there's a variety of yield in there. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. It did yield fruit, as it says in Mark also, and to a varying degree, but it did yield fruit. In Luke, it says it bare fruit, and there it only says 100-fold. And then at the end of the parable, it says, the Lord says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hear it. This is important. If you're living, if your heart's beating and the blood is coursing through your veins, you need to hear this. This is so. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In Mark, he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And Luke also the same. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 10, we see here the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? The disciples come and ask the meaning. In Mark, it says there that they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. It seems from Mark's account that it wasn't even the apostles that asked, but other disciples that were there. And then in Luke, the account tells us here that they ask him, what might this parable be? What's it mean? So they ask, why are you talking to them in parables? And then, what's this parable all about? In Matthew chapter 13, verse number 11, we see here, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. We're the Lord's tillage. We're the Lord's husbandry. He's made a choice in that, hasn't he? And as we consider about these different kinds of ground and the Lord's explanation of them, is it not so that all of us, we who are saved, all of us at one time were in the category of the first three until the Lord tilled it up and put us in the fourth? See, when you're in the fourth, you don't go back to the other, do you? Amen? And so there is a representation here of we see the condition of men, women, boys, and girls before they're saved and what they're brought into. But then we also see in this a final condition, don't we? So there is that. We who are saved, no doubt, give testimony to the fact that before the Lord saved us, we were found in one of those other grounds. Well, I was in that ground by the wayside. I was in that stony place. I maybe was even in the thorny place. But now, being saved, I'm in the tillage of the Lord, where there's fruit that's born. And then when men come to the end of their life, and the Lord's the only one that can really reckon it, but won't it be reckoned that he would find men, women in one of these places? I think that is the case. The disciples ask the meaning, and the Lord says here, it's given unto you, answering their question about why do you speak to them in parables, it's been given unto you to understand these mysteries, mysteries revealed. And listen to what he says. He answered and said unto them, verse 11, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And that's the way it is with the child of God, isn't it? The Lord blesses and gives and gives and gives. Yes, this life may be hard. Yes, this life may even end up in martyrdom. But what's the end? Glory with the Father. Glory with the Son, right? And he shall have more abundance. We've got a mansion in glory waiting for us. We're going to be there with the Son, our Savior, with whom we are joint heirs. I mean, in the end, it just gets better and better. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even away that he hath. I've come to understand that sinner, you're here with life. You were able to wake up this morning, the Lord gave you life, and you're able to enjoy the sunshine, the rain, the operation of the Lord upon the earth, the seasons. You're able to partake of food. You're able to be clothed. You're able to be sheltered. You've got the blessing of living in this country, a blessing of education, a blessing of family, a blessing of friendship. But you know what? The sinner without Christ will live in hell and the lake of fire forever with nothing. That which you seem to have, if you die without Christ, even that will be taken away. The possessions maybe that a sinner would rely on or have peace with or enjoy, those things will be taken away if you die without Christ. There in verse 12, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, they seeing see not, they hearing and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. You know, in those days the Lord would speak unto the folks that were there, the multitude, and then would go away, and the disciples would ask him about him and have the meaning of the parable revealed unto them. You know what? Every person that will avail themselves of the word of God has the explanation right here at you. In that day, it wasn't so. In this day, it is so. And he says here to his disciples, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Hear it. Hear it. Hear what the Lord says. It's of utmost importance. But mysteries are indeed revealed to the Lord's people. It's just that way. It's the way the Lord has ordained it. In verse number 19, the Lord says, when one heareth the word of the kingdom. We don't have a direct indication of the Lord in this parable, in this particular account in Matthew, about the word being the seed. But in Mark, that is the case. It says in Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the word. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, now the parable is this, the Lord says, the seed is the word of God. It's what God says in his word. That is the seed that the sower soweth. He's spreading it out there. He's telling what God has said. Sinner, will you hear it? Hear it. Child of God, hear it and be built up in it and encouraged in it and know about the working of your Lord and Savior for you. In this parable, we don't have anything the Lord really doesn't mention about the sower, does he? There's nothing that's really said. He goes immediately into the seed. But he did say at the beginning that there was a sower that went forth to sow. And who is that? Well, child of God, that's you. Preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's you. Saint in his church, that's you. You're a sower. And you've got fields to sow that nobody else can get to and sow. And we need to be about sowing them, don't we? Remember in our text in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God to sow the seed. We've got opportunity. May the Lord help us to seize them. Then the Lord, in verse number 19, he says here, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, he's going to begin to deal with the issues with the ground. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So there at the wayside, the Lord telling about those birds, he says, that's Satan. And when that seed gets thrown, and they go, huh? They don't understand it. They don't get it. They're not see any connection with it at all. They see just another religious fanatic at work spreading their doctrine. Talking about this man Jesus. Talking about, of all things, me being a sinner. And who are they? They being such a hypocrite. Amen? That's what's said. The wicked one, it says, comes and catches that way, away that word that's sown in their heart. The word of God, according to that, goes right down there to that. But it doesn't prosper in that ground, does it? The wicked one is referred to here in Matthew. In Mark, it's the Lord says plainly, Satan. He taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. In Luke, it says the devil. And so it's very clear about this ground by the wayside and how it is. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 20, he that received the seed under stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, he is offended. And this is really the heart of what I want to get to this morning. There's that on the stony ground. The word is heard. And that word anon is talking about directly or immediately or soon. They hear it. That's it. That's good. That's a good word. And they with joy receive it. Yes, that's true. I like that. But see, because it's yet stony ground, there's no deep tap root of faith. It's not the tillage of the Lord. And then they endure for a while. Brothers and sisters, this has everything to do with the representation of and Brother Stephen covered it in his lessons about the book of Hebrews, the perseverance of the saints. There are those that seem to receive the word of God and salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it gets down to the nitty gritty of living out what the word of God says, said, no, I just can't go that far. That might be manifested in weeks. That might be manifested in months. That might be manifested in decades. But the Lord says it will be manifested. He says, yet hath he not root in himself, endureth for a while. But what's it say there? It says there in verse 21, when tribulation, trouble, pressure, heat, or persecution. And even in that word persecution, it would be maybe, and I haven't looked that word up, but the thought that I wonder about is that when the word of God comes at me and says I'm wrong, there can be persecution from without, and certainly trouble from without. But what about when the word of God comes to me and tells me that I'm wrong? Tribulation, persecution ariseth because of the word of God, the God-breathed word of God, and by and by, he's offended. Scandaleos is the word. Scandal is our English word. He's scandalized by it. He's bothered by it. He's offended by it. Look over here in Matthew chapter 11, just a couple pages over. In Matthew 11, verse number 6, the Lord says plainly, John has sent some to find out if he's truly the Christ. John's in prison. John the Baptist is in prison. And he says here in verse number 6, blessed is he, Matthew 11, 6. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. It's the same word. It's the same word here that the Lord says in this parable and in this type of stony ground, tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by he is offended. He's bothered. He's troubled. He has driven away because he just cannot take it. Remember those there in John chapter 6 when the Lord Jesus Christ so preached and so pressed that one must partake of his body and one must partake of his blood, and they were offended in that. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And many of them went away. They would not receive it. In the account of Mark, of this parable, and considering about this stony ground, said, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But then in verse 17 of Mark 4, it says, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. In Luke, it says that they receive the word with joy, but have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. When faith gets put to the test, it's found that there is no faith. Whatever the tribulation might be, whatever the persecution might be, whatever the pressure and the heat might be, for the word's sake, they are offended in Christ. They are offended in him. They can't. Christ is not worth it to stay with him. Boy, that's terrible, isn't it? Then there's that on the thorny ground. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. In Matthew or Mark, it says the same thing along the same line, to hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in. Well, I didn't know I was going to have to give up that for the Lord. And, you know, and that's a sign of a wrong attitude. That's a sign of maybe even a deeper underlying situation. I didn't give up anything for the Lord. I got it all. How can you count giving up sin a bad thing? Amen? And the effects of sin. It chokes the word. The deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world. There's a lot of care in raising a family, isn't there? There's a lot of care and a lot of effort that goes forth in working and providing for the home, isn't there? But if those things enter in and choke out what the word of God says, there's not going to be any fruit. And so that this thorny ground has that same effect, or somewhat of a different way. They've heard, it says in Luke, and they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Child of God, are you bearing fruit? And then there's the good ground in Matthew chapter 13. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. Others heard the word, didn't they? It said about those in stony places, they received it with joy and anon. Quickly they got it. There have been those that have been preached to and taught and inquired about the word of God for years. And then one day they're saved. But there are those that hear it immediately and they receive it, but they don't believe. And here, this good ground, though, it says here, but the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Yes, that's what I need. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I am on my way to hell, and I deserve it. And yes, Jesus Christ died for me. I believe it. He's shown me it's true. He's come and visited me. He heareth the word and understandeth it. And which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth. Yes, I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to be marginal and over in the shadows, but I want to follow the Lord. I want to obey him. I want to learn more about him. I want to be like him. It says in Mark that they hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. In Luke, it says there, but they that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. A heart that's been changed. A heart that's been tilled up by the Lord, amen. A heart that's been worked by the Lord's husbandry. They have been visited by the Lord. Does the word of the Lord offend you? May God help us that it not offend us. Amen. May the Lord help us when we're offended by the word of God that we repent of it before him and follow him. Amen. Offended about what the Lord says about the way that we're saved. Does that trouble you that it takes the Lord Jesus Christ dying on Calvary to save your wicked soul? That's the way that it is. That's how bad our sin is. It took what my Savior did for me to save me. Does it offend you about what the Lord says about his church? The Lord said here, mysteries are revealed to the people in his church. Do you want it? We've been given a great privilege to be in his church. Homestead Baptist Church isn't great because of you and me. It's great because it's the Lord's church. Amen. And he's interested in her. He's added us here. Amen. And he's made promises to us. The world might say, well, who are you to think that there can be such help and such discernment about the word of God and application by the word of God? Well, it's not in Jim Duke and it's not in you, but it's in what God's promised. He's promised it. He said he would give it. He said that he would send the comforter to work in this way amongst us. And may we receive it and believe it and trust him in it. Perfect? No. But may God help us as we walk and live to not be hypocrites. Amen. The Lord warns us about that. But let us hear what he says and receive what he says and believe him in what he says and apply it. And may we bring forth fruit. Amen. And then there's a final warning. Here in Matthew, there's other parables that are given. And some time ago, we took a look at those. We want to pick it up here in verse number 34. And listen to what it says. A final warning. Sinner without Christ, hear. Child of God, maybe troubled by what the word of God says about some things, hear. Get that right before the Lord. Obey him. Follow him in it. In verse number 34, the scripture says, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's the reason the Lord spoke in parables. It had been prophesied to do so. That being right there in front of the people, right there in front of their eyes, right there in their ears, they wouldn't receive it. You know why? It takes the tilling of the Lord. Amen. And the Lord tills with his word. And the Lord tills by the witness of his people. The Lord tills by the sower sowing the seed. The Lord works and tills by the watering of his children and by the moving of his spirit. In Mark chapter 4, it says here, and he said unto them, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be on a candlestick? That's what the Lord has directed, that sinners saved and baptized should be a part, and by being baptized, should be a part of his New Testament Baptist church, that the light might be seen to the greatest extent that it can be seen. Oh, yes, can one saved live for the Lord and serve the Lord? Yes, to an extent. They've got salvation. Is the Word of God, can the Word of God be open unto them? To a point, it can be, I believe, but not in its fullness, not in its completeness. He said here in verse 22 there of that same chapter, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither is there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Hear what the Lord says in his word. Don't be offended by his word. And understand that we are indeed the tillage of the Lord. In Luke chapter 8, the Lord says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in might see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Verse 18, take heed therefore how ye hear. Take heed. You that are here and not saved this morning, how do you hear what the Lord has said? Have you seen, and don't you know that you need the Lord? Call out unto him for mercy. Child of God, have we not seen how it is that the Lord's blessing upon us and saving us and putting it in his church and giving us his word, that is a blessing indeed, and we don't need to be offended in it, but we need to take it, receive it, and follow him in it and bring forth fruit unto his praise and honor and his glory. We need to. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. The Lord's ground, tillage, and husbandry. I tell you what, I'm glad to be in it, aren't you? And when the word of God comes at me and contradicts me, may the Lord help me that I be changed and not try to change what the word of God says. Amen.